Hello and welcome to the Student Council Podcast, an educational advice show made for students and by students, where everyone's qualified to talk about their own experiences. This week, we are celebrating 2 years of the Student Council Podcast, which is just bonkers to think about in general. We are celebrating with a very special returning guest, the first ever return guest of the show, Mr. Finn Rawlings himself of Northwestern University. Finn, how are you? Thank you for being here today.
I'm doing fantastic, Carter. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm great. It was so fun catching up before the show. I can't wait to like hear about your life now. You're a senior. Do you feel like a senior?
No. I have felt 17 for 5 years now. But but it's one of those things where the impending cloud of graduation is looming, and I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm all of those good things. It just seemed like it went by fast, but at the same time, I'm trying my best to be ready for it.
That's good. It does seem like it's gone by fast. It seems like between the last time we talked and now was not like 2 years worth of time.
Not at all. It feels like a month at the most.
For real. Like, it's insane. Anyways, yeah. Finn, what have been your favorite 5 minutes of the past week?
Oh boy. All right. My favorite 5 minutes of the past week, and I'm going to tie this back into some of my future answers. So get ready for a motif, folks.
Let's go.
Or a theme, if you will.
The man's a writer.
He's a writer, folks. God, he's insufferable. My favorite 5 minutes of the past week has been, there is a restaurant in Chicago called the Green Mill. And on Thursday nights, they have a live jazz band. And my favorite 5 minutes of the past week was going there and listening to their closing number, which was one of my favorite jazz songs. I'm going to talk more about it, about getting off campus, doing other stuff like that. But listening to that song and just being in Chicago and listening to that kind of music was just like, it was one of those moments, one of those movie worthy moments, you know?
I love a good jazz show. I love a good jazz band. I am fighting in literally all of my friend groups to be like, there's a jazz club downtown. I haven't gone yet. And I'm like, guys, we got to do this. We got to do this. Like, I am insufferable about it. To the point that like a TikTok on my For You page was like, came up about like the friend who just wants to take all of his friends to a jazz club. And I'm like, I'm that guy.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's society will shun us for our love. But, you know, ultimately, you know, the justice of time will show us for the benefactors that we are.
Yeah, and the justice of like, we've got Ryan Gosling and La La Land to back us up.
Exactly.
That's all I need. Yes. Yeah. I do have to ask, what was the jazz song in question?
The jazz song in question was Don't Get Around Much Anymore by Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
It's this very fun song about how he gets broken up with and all his friends are like, we don't see you out anymore. And he just keeps saying, I don't get around much anymore. And then at the end of the song, there's this is very specific, and feel free to put this in the cut version. But there's this one chord, it's a chord that sounds like a question mark. And I like to believe it's Nat King Cole winking to the camera and saying, I'm doing just fine. You know, I'm playing up this sad mopey bit, and I'll be back out there pretty soon. So I really like the song, and you know, the band played beautifully. It was just a really fun time.
I love that. That is beautiful. Yeah. I love a musical wink to the camera. That's so cool and clever.
It's, you know, it's something you don't see in pop songs.
No, you don't. Come on, Ariana Grande. We know, like, you got this. We know.
Yeah. Next album, or Taylor Swift just announced her album. She could definitely benefit from a chordal wink to the
Absolutely, she could.
In 3 minutes, I have taken this podcast so off track.
I would love this
any other way.
Neither would I. This is a gem. This is everything I expected for and more. I will steer it lightly back on track to then derail again later.
Please do.
So we last talked, you were a sophomore at Northwestern. I was a senior in high school, which is crazy. You were dual degree, history and film. You were host of The Blackout.
Yes.
This was pre 30% milk days, but I just want to kind of hear from then to now, what's changed, what stayed the same, all of that.
Yeah. So I remember a little anecdote to begin my answer. I remember speaking to one of my friends who's in a sorority, and she was talking about her sorority big, and she was in her sorority big was a senior, and she was like, she only shows up for the formals. She pays all the dues. She doesn't come, but she doesn't come to a single meeting. She doesn't come to a single, low-level party or event or anything. She only comes to the formals. And I remember being a sophomore and hearing that, being like, that is so weird. But now, becoming a junior and becoming a senior, I don't see it as a negative in any way. I realized a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh my gosh, I have become that sorority big who only goes to the formals. But not in a negative way in any sense. I think in the most positive sense, not having one foot out the door, but having one foot in both camps, keeping my left foot firmly planted in Northwestern and, draining it of all its worth, extracurricularly and, socially and academically, and continuing to do that throughout my transition and graduation. But at the same time, taking a healthy look forward and like the jazz club, cultivating a social life, or the ability to go off campus and do something completely un-Northwestern related. So while I've remained involved with the blackout and started 40% milk and other things like that on campus, I think the way in which my student experience has changed the most has been cultivating a healthy balance, and sort of transition of power, if you will, from Northwestern not having as much of a monopoly on my time and my life. I think in a hopefully good and healthy transitional way.
That sounds really healthy. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a cool. I like that story. Because then, too, when you do show up to the formals and stuff, I'm sure you get like a round of applause, like Norm entering the bar and cheers type moment, right?
I wish that was the case. I mean, my friends are glad to see me. And I don't, I'm not part of the Greek system or anything like that. I mean, there are clubs of mine that have formals, but I don't necessarily mean formal in that particular sense. Showing up to the big event, or I think what I really mean is what's most important to you. What's most important to this friend of a friend was this event where she could see all of her friends and know she could have a guaranteed good time and everything like that. And I think I'm in a place where I'm showing up for the big events where I know I'll see my friends, and not focusing so much on the minute and minuscule meetings. Another anecdote to throw at you was this quarter's my second to last quarter, and I went to the club fair just to sort of check it out. And I was shocked to find how many clubs there were that I just had no clue about. And I had an interesting feeling of like, oh, I wish I could join these clubs, but I can't. And it wasn't necessarily a negative. I wasn't completely torn up about it, but yeah, just sort of made me reflect on how do I want to use my time, and in this transitory period where I'll never get to be a senior in college again, unless my finals go terrible. But yeah, like how do I want to use this time? What's the most sort of marrow I can suck from Northwestern's bones, as it were, to use a very, very odd metaphor. You forgive me, dear listeners, but yeah, what can I get, and how can I best use my time?
Yeah, I think that's a key lesson of college, just hard stop is like time management. Like, I think it's
Definitely.
overloading you with choices so that you can then almost learn about yourself by figuring out what you actually want to spend the time doing. And I think that's a
Yes.
cool thing to hear about. And to your club's point, like my biggest probably college regret is being like, I'm gonna graduate and be like, God, there was so much cool stuff I didn't do. Like so
Yep.
many cool orgs I didn't join. And already now I'm like, I have so many friends doing cool stuff and I'm like, I would love to help out if I could, and I'll just be a cheerleader on the side right now. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think for doers and creators such as you and myself, I think that's sort of an intrinsic, maybe inevitable negative of college, that we won't get to do it all. But I think that's just something that we got to deal with. And for better or for worse, yeah, like I said, finding those things that are worth your time and worth your energy and rewarding at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Like, you looked inward, and now I want to look outward at Northwestern itself. Like, do
Sure.
you think that it has changed in 2 years? Has campus changed? 2 years ago was still kind of COVID, like, limbo. Not that we're out of
Yes.
COVID limbo, but like, it was more just a very different time in that world. Do you think that campus has changed a lot in 2 years or in any distinct ways?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, especially with the pandemic, I think that the campus has changed a lot. Last fall, there was a full in-person orientation with balloon arches and games on the quad and this, that, and the other. And my fellow seniors and I, shook our fists and then walked off with our canes and walkers,
Right.
because we never got that sort of experience freshman year. And so I think, at the same time, Northwestern is doing a lot for our class of 2024 in particular, because they know that the circumstances that had been our freshman year screwed up a lot. They're putting a lot of time and energy and frankly budget into
Nice.
giving us a nice exit experience, which is very nice. And it's very, even though, there's a part of me and my classmates that's a bit envious of the freshmen and their experience, there is a very heartening sense to sort of see the campus now, in sort of its full engine capacity, as it were, and to see it running how it should. And yeah, I think my classmates and I, as seniors, we take pride in sort of finally being able to, take the helm of seniors and cheer the loudest at the sports games and go to all of the performances and, lead club meetings and onboard freshmen and sorts of stuff like that. So, okay, this is going to be a stretch, but I've heard people have said Christmas becomes magic again when you have children, or you get to relive certain magic moments of your childhood when you have children. And by no means are any of the freshmen children to me. They're all wonderful and capable adults. But in the club meetings and stuff, it's like, yeah, I remember being in your seat. And it's a very exciting sort of cyclical experience to, have people come to the first blackout meeting and be like, what's this club about? And get to explain it and sort of get that fresh and exciting, sort of first year energy into a room.
I know what you mean. I see that. Yeah, it's like there is something sweet and exciting about reliving that or seeing that through the freshman's eyes. Even only 1 year removed, I see it. And I'm sure like 3 years down the line, I'm really gonna like understand that. And that's so cool. And I'll kind of lead into Blackout and be like, what's the status on Blackout? How's it been? What's 2 years done for the club?
Sure. Yeah. So 2 years that, I mean, the Blackout's in a really, really great spot right now. After we spoke and I was the host, I transitioned to a head writer position for our next host, who was Will Mulder. We had a great year of three shows. It was very interesting to be in the head writer position, especially after being the host, because I think in some ways it gave me sort of a good insight towards what Will needed as a host and what the show needed. And yeah, we had a great three show selection, and I've been writing since. And this year we have a very, very terrific host, Shy, and they had their first show back in December. And it was all about themed about coming to age movies. So it was really fun. And I've transitioned to just being a writer now, like I said, sort of with this theme of, taking gradual steps back and steps back and steps back in terms of involvement. But, of course, I still go to all the meetings and I will champion that club until kingdom come. Yeah, I will always have the purple solo cup in my heart. And yeah, I'm really excited for our winter show, which is going to happen sometime in March, date pending.
I'm excited for that. I'm glad. I still
Yeah.
think it's a club that I've never seen it mimicked anywhere else. Like, I think it is a singular Northwestern style club, and I think I really just commend all of you for that, 'cause like that's really cool. It's so inventive and unique, and I'm glad that it's continued to show that and bring on new hosts, and I'm sure get new flavors every year and all of that.
Yes, that's been particularly exciting, seeing how how Will and how Shy and how, you know, the different writers' rooms or the different producers have taken the format of the show and made it their own, especially as you mentioned, you know, it's a very unique premise. I too have not encountered it in any other college setting. I think it's interesting to see the form of late night comedy, which is, you know, has been historically, traditionally pretty rigid, see how we can adapt it and change it to work with, you know, different creatives and like in the era of you know, hot ones and podcasts and things where, you know, the talk show format has been completely blown up. It's been very interesting to see, you know, what parts of the form people want to stick with. You know, do you want the desk? Do you want the mug? Do you want, you know, do you want the swivel chair? Like, you know, there's just like things where it's just like even the set, if you set up a set like that, people will be like, oh, I know what's gonna happen. This is gonna be like a late night talk show. So it's very interesting to see how, you know, people in the professional world of late night are playing with the form, and also how we in our very malleable sort of college extracurricular world can adapt the form to our needs.
Yeah, I think that is really cool to see the dichotomy there. It's late night is changing, and I'm hoping for,
Yes.
you know, into the evolutions. And I'm kind of hoping. Did you see all the Taylor Tomlinson, like, that she's got After Midnight Now, which is super cool? Low
Yes,
key
I'm
though,
super excited.
me too. I kind of wish that they gave her more of just a traditional, like, late night hostmanship. I heard they changed it, like, into a game show, and I'm like, okay. But, like, I think she deserves the proper, I if the format still works, I think she deserves the proper, like, desk, monologue, chair, you know, whatever is really vibing with people still today. But I'm excited to see her
Yeah.
still, like, begin her career on late night, and I'm hoping take over eventually, like, one of those Jimmy seats or something like that.
Definitely. Yeah, I think I'm a huge fan of hers. I love her Netflix specials. And I think, yeah, with her being back to back with Colbert in particular, I assume the network, you know, maybe didn't want it to be two sort of desk shows back to back, but I agree with you. I'm like, why, you know, why is this game showish? I don't call it a game show if it's a game show, you know. And I agree. I think she absolutely deserves the traditional desk job. And as Colbert and, you know, Fallon and Kimmel and whoever's gonna take over Corden's position as those guys get older, I hope Tomlinson is sort of, you know, teed up to take over one of their positions because I think she's very, very talented.
Absolutely. And then kind of last Northwestern question targeted at
Sure.
you. Are you still a history and film dual degree? Do you still find an intersection of those two areas? What's kind of your student experience wrapped up and changed, like, academically?
Yeah, so I'm no longer a history and film dual degree. I'm now a radio, television, and film major with a history minor and a theater minor. Sort of the theater minor eclipsed the course load, which would have built out the second half of my history major. I don't want to bore you or the listeners with the logistics of Northwestern credits, but yeah. All of that is to say, I was taking a lot of theater classes because I think oftentimes I get into this head down television and film perspective about I want to write, I want to write, I want to write. And then I remember, oh, right, the theater is what got me into this love of film and television in the first place. And so my advisor and I were looking at my schedule and it was like, oh, I don't know if you'll be able to finish your history major in time, this, that, and the other. She was like, wait a minute, looking at these classes, you could have a history minor like that and a theater minor like that. And I was like, do it right now, go. You know, that was sort of a relieving end to that meeting. But from more of a substantive standpoint, I think I love finding historical moments that, you know, are very cinematic, or, you know, I can just imagine them happening in my mind, or, you know, how I would shoot it if it was a documentary or if it was a historical farce or a satire or something like that. And then in my history classes, or rather, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of overlap. They're constantly in my mind, both being in the course load. There's a lot of television and film history that I'm interested in, and you know, from the history standpoint, like I said, there's a lot of things that I can see coming to life on screen. And you know, we've been talking about the future in the ideal world, you know, a show like Drunk History or on Comedy Central, or the BBC had a show called Horrible Histories where they had like a repertory cast of theater guys and they would explain British history and then they'd sing a song. And so I think sort of my dream would to be able to take some sort of television humorous look at history, but have an educational component to it too. Not hard-handed, but if you want more information, look this up or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, I love all the plays we've got to see with history recently. Like, I think Hamilton was
Yes.
a big play into that. And then, yeah, Drunk History is a phenomenal way of like informing you about stuff and doing it in
Yeah.
such a way where you don't even feel like you're learning until the end. And you're like, oh, I learned that Arthur Conan Doyle solved a real murder. That's fun.
Yes.
Like,
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I think this gets a little into, what we may talk about next. But yeah, being comfortable with that pivot of, I'm not a history major anymore. I'm gonna do two minors, or being able to, yeah, change what you're doing, I think is essential, especially to, I'd say in particular the sophomore and junior years of college. Junior year, it's like, all right, well, you may really want to solidify what you're gonna do unless you want to take an extra quarter or semester. But yeah, figuring out what you don't like. We talked a little bit about before we started recording how important that is in your freshman and your sophomore year, taking that general education requirement and being like, I do not like statistics. Yes, it gave me my math credit and I'll take that and leave, but that's all the statistics I'm leaving on the table. But in more of a specific sense, yeah, just taking a class and discovering, oh my God, this is what I want to major in, or I'll pick up a minor in this, or I'll just be interested in this on the side. I think allowing that academic curiosity to be as free as possible and having sort of the interest to take classes outside of your major, which those first 2 years I think are particularly built for, I think is incredibly valuable.
I completely agree. I love that. And I think it is good to have the comfortableness of changing that just because it does wind up like you get your identity tied up into your majors, you know? Like
Yeah.
it's a big thing. It's like this is kind of you do it, it's prescriptive, it's self, you know, applied. Like, yeah, I think it's really good to have that shift. And I think it will tie into more questions. And I'm guessing curious, going into more of the general stuff, there's some same
Sure.
questions you answered 2 years ago, a few new ones in there too.
Oh boy. I answered these already. All right, after the
A couple of them have been the same questions, but I think that I want to hear if the answers are the same or not.
Okay, I was gonna say, I was like, we gotta do a comparison back and forth.
Yeah. What is the most impactful piece of advice someone has ever given to you?
I hope I answered this last time. I think I may have. My English teacher and mentor in high school told me, he said, in the best and most freeing of ways, other people aren't thinking about you.
Yep, that's what you said
And
before.
yep, it is.
Yeah,
I knew
yep.
it. I knew it. Okay, wait. Let me see if I can find a different piece of advice then.
No, I
That
love that
is
piece of
the
advice
most
though.
impactful piece of advice.
Yeah.
And I think it continues to affect me throughout college. And yeah, it's not saying that people are inconsiderate. They may be sometimes. It's not saying that people are mean. They may be sometimes. But it's just saying that, there's sort of a sister phrase that I heard, which was don't attribute malice to that which can be attributed to ignorance. Sometimes, everybody's
Whoa.
just whoa, right?
Yeah.
I heard that in a TikTok street interview. You know those guys with like who hold up
Yep.
their phone as the microphone? Like it was like some guy at the mall and he's like, "Yo, what's your one piece of advice?" And he stands the phone and this dude at the mall just spits that. And I was like, "Holy crap, that's a
Yeah.
wise man."
That's insane.
Yeah. So yeah, I think just, accepting that, in the best and most freeing way at the end of the day, everybody, has a prime concern for themselves, is a very freeing thing, and especially in, my field and our field, Carter, of cinema and theater and the arts, where it can and be, you know, me. It's all about me. And you know, if you dear listeners could not tell that that's a facet of Finn Rawlings, I will just say it out loud now. But yeah, I think, you know, all the time people say something and I'm like, oh, they meant that as a slight against. It's like, no, probably not. And I think it's a freeing and mature sort of mindset to have that, you know, I'm still frankly working on and I may be working on for the rest of my life. But all of that blabbering is to say, yeah, that piece of advice that in the best, here it is verbatim once again, in the best and most freeing of ways, people aren't thinking about you.
I love it so much. It's a
Yeah.
phenomenal piece of advice, and I'm glad I think to hear it again. And it's funny that some stuff just still sticks with you after all this time. And
Yeah.
yeah, what is your ultimate tip for somebody going into college?
My facetious tip, my little brother Cooper, he's 16 going on 17. He's applying for colleges right now. And I facetiously gave him the piece of advice, don't watch Animal House before you go to college. But to sort of cornily, I don't know, in a corny way, turn that into an actual piece of advice. I think my ultimate tip would be try to manage your expectations. I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer, but I really, really think that it's an essential tip, that everybody's college experience is different. You know, Animal House is a movie, and I know it's guided so many people, you know, especially the fraternity-oriented members among us, in terms of their expectations of college. But I think, yeah, being particular with your expectations, and finding that sweet spot between, you know, my college experience will be unlike anybody else's, and taking that as sort of a positive rather than a negative of, you know, rather than saying, you know, I'm not going to get the experience, the fun, great experience that everybody is having. I'm going to have this completely unique and special experience of my own. You know, there's no cookie cutter college experience. I know people who, you know, took semesters off in the middle of college. I know people who deferred semesters because of the pandemic. I know people who are going to have to stay after. So, you know, people's timelines are different. People's experiences are different. And yeah, I think for those going into college, it's very exciting. It's very fun. But in the best of way, your experience will be unlike anybody else's.
I love your phrasing of that and the little quip of don't watch Animal House before college, because I think it is really good to highlight that, because the amount of FOMO and just the like the perceptions of people, and like I think everyone else thinks that everyone else around them is cool and that they're not. Like I think that's a mental
Yes.
state I'm beginning to see in myself and others, and I'm like, whoa, like even people who I'm like, yeah, I think you are like the epitome of cool, and they're like, yeah, I kind of feel like I'm lame, and I'm like, wait, like hold up. Like
Yo.
it's crazy, I think, to realize everyone does have different experiences, and that there isn't like there is no one right way, no universal way to do it. And I kind of love college for that exact reason. I love this show for that exact reason too, to really
Yeah.
like ingrain that lesson. And everybody I've talked to has done it differently, and I think that's just really
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, I think yeah, like you said, everybody, you know, similar to, you know, not everybody's thinking about you. I think also, as you sort of mentioned, everybody has something going on, you know. Nobody, everybody has something they're dealing with. Everybody has bad days, bad weeks, bad everything. And you know, to get on my soapbox for a little bit with the social media stuff, it often looks like everybody's college experience is going terrific 100% of the time. But you know, my experience is everybody has stuff going on. And to recognize that college, as the colloquial American, you know, best 4 years of your life, is not true for everybody. And if it's true for you, then you know, what's gonna happen after college? Does it go downhill from there? I don't know what I would say to you. But yeah, I think that just knowing that sort of imposter syndrome feeling of, you know, I don't belong, I'm the only one who's struggling, is just bogus, and that everybody's having a tough time every now and then, I think is really valuable and helped me to me personally to feel a cultivated sense of community at Northwestern, especially in the pandemic years when it felt like, we were all separated.
That's beautiful. I completely agree. Yeah. I'm curious now. I didn't get to ask you this one the first time because I didn't think about it in the pilot, but what is a dorm room essential?
Ooh, a dorm room essential. Okay, I have two answers. I think either flip-flops. Northwestern is very chilly. Oh, okay, wait. I'm gonna change the answer. A shoe. This is so specific, but a shoe that you don't have to tie. A
Yes.
shoe that you could just slip
Yep.
on. Because if somebody knocks on your door, or and it's like, you want to study with us, or can you come fix this in the bathroom, or the God forbid the fire alarm goes off, which, those of you preparing to go to college and live in a dorm, I have bad news for you, which the fire alarm is going to go off all the time. Having a shoe that you could just slip on is a game changer.
Yeah, it 10,000% is. I love it. I've got a pair of Vans. I recently for a Halloween costume of Carmy from the Bear, I got a pair of those like Birkenstock slides. And
Nice.
those are great. Yeah, would wholeheartedly endorse that one.
Terrific costume, by the way.
It was great, except I didn't get to wear it because the apron didn't come in time.
Damn.
So I'm ready for next year, you know? I
Good.
bet season 3 will drop. It'll be in
Yep.
vogue again. We'll be rock on. Ready for that.
Perfect. And
Yeah.
you get a pair of Birkenstocks from
I got
it.
a pair of Birks out of it. It's great.
Why
It's a lot
not?
of fun.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and then the other one I will just quickly say is every time I go to the grocery store, I get like one of those big snack pack things that like people would bring to like a soccer game or a par or
Yep.
birthday a kid's birthday party or something where it's like five Lay's, five Doritos, one of those things where it's just like sometimes I just need a little sodium in my life. This may be just me, but yeah, just one of those like quick little snack things, I think, especially in dorm life in particular, to tide you over from trips to the dining hall was essential for me.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Now, getting out of dorm life, kind of, I think, going back to your earlier 5 minutes, how did the
Yeah.
setting of your school in Evanston, nice right by Chicago, affect
Yes.
your student experience?
Yeah. I tell everybody it's hard to get up for an 8 a.m. lecture, and it's harder to get up when it's -5 degrees outside. That was a culture shock coming from the always 55 degree Northern California. And I learned that the snow loses its charm after a couple days and it just turns to ice and gets cold. But to get away from sort of my pessimism about the weather, I think that I am somebody, I can speak really only to my personal experience for this question, that I am somebody who has always thrived being near a big city. I grew up in Half Moon Bay in California, which is about a 35, 40-minute drive to San Francisco. And so it's always been my personal preference and style to live near a big city and have those resources and events and shops and whatever you want to call it available to me, but to have that removal physically. And so I think, like I said towards the beginning of our conversation, that ability to go into Chicago and see a jazz night, or go and see a show, or go to the museums, or go to the St. Patrick's Day parade or bar crawl or whatever it may be, that you sort of get the freedom to do as you become a sophomore, junior, senior, and you begin sort of looking for more opportunities that aren't along your dorm hall or aren't along frat row or whatever you want to call it. I think that was essential for me. And I think that having that big city near you, or going to school in a big city, or going to school super far away from a big city, I think is an essential consideration that I would tell people applying for colleges at this point to consider. It's essentially, just a big resource center. And how close or far do you want that to be for you? I know people in my life, friends of mine, have survived, living in an apartment in downtown Manhattan, going to Fordham, or who have been in the cornfields of Notre Dame. And so it's just a flavor preference. And I would just say, yeah, to reiterate, for me, it's been essential having that resource center available but not sort of omnipresent.
Yeah, that's really cool. Favorite and least favorite building on campus?
Favorite and least favorite building on campus. Ooh, good question. Least favorite building, probably Annenberg Hall. It has tile floors and it just reminds me of a bathroom, the whole thing. You open the doors to the bathroom and it's just like more different tile. And it's this gray tile floor and halogen lights and just unenjoyable. My favorite building on campus is definitely, I would say, the library. Northwestern has a very ornate library. I think every college campus tour ever says, this is our Hogwarts library. And so they have that, and then they have this very brutalist Blade Runner 1980s library attached to it. And actually, the fifth floor north side of that brutalist library, it's their transportation section, is my favorite because nobody's ever there. It's quiet. There's all sorts of model boats and trains up there. And so that's sort of my little respite corner. And if anybody listening to this, gets that word out that that's my secret spot, I will be furious. But I hope you all can enjoy, a pilgrimage there one day. It's very not exciting. It's a corner of a library, but I've written all of my final papers there, and spent all of my finals and midterm season there. So it has a place near and dear to my heart.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah. And if you find it, we will find you and we will slime you.
Yes, yes,
And yeah, just be ready.
yeah. A Nickelodeon hit will be put out on.
Yeah, they've happened before. Don't ask about it.
I
What is the
don't
most
know.
distinct professor you've ever had?
Professor Daniel Immerwahr. He's a professor of history at Northwestern. He's the reason I added my initial history major and now my history minor. This will tie into our next question about what class has changed me the most. His class on U.S. foreign policy both radicalized my worldview and changed the way that I saw college education and lecturing and things of that nature. A quick anecdote in talking about the Spanish-American War and Teddy Roosevelt's involvement. Professor Immerwahr, he has such a passion for history. He was galloping, acting as Teddy on his horse, back and forth on the stage and up and down the aisles of the lecture hall to illustrate which hill of Cuba Teddy was, currently taking with his rough riders. And everybody was just in hysterics and clapping. And it was just a completely eye-opening lecture. It may sound corny, but breathed life into history and really changed the way that, I saw not only that event, but history in general and collegiate lectures. So Immerwahr's passion for what he does to the point where he was running around the room with a mime sword shouting, and it was just very, very inspiring to see somebody could be that interested in history, and inspires me to study history to this day.
Wow, that's incredible. That's such a high
Yeah.
bar to set for a lecture.
It's
Like, that's, you can never beat that. Like,
No, he would gallop around and he had funny slides and this, that, and the other. And then the next semester, I had a wonderful professor who is very high up in the history program, who I will not name, but they just sat on a stool with no slides or anything and just for 50 minutes would just talk. And it
whoa,
was the complete
yeesh.
opposite of Immerwahr. And it was incredibly valuable. They were a terrifically gifted lecturer because they had no notes, just straight off the dome. But going from galloping around the classroom to that was definitely a culture shock and big shoes to fill for any lecturer I've had since.
That's a crazy shift. Now, I
Yeah.
want to ask you, so we always have the school survival playlist, so we kept adding to it. You added one
Good.
song in the first episode. Do you remember what that song was?
Man, I'm trying to put myself into sophomore year and what I was listening to. Was it I Will Survive by Cake?
It was.
It
It
was!
was.
Yes! Good. Oh
That's
man.
so
Okay.
funny.
Dude, I was like, it has to be "I Will Survive" by Cake.
Yeah, would
That
you?
was my anthem then.
That's so funny.
Let me I okay, frankly, that was the answer I was gonna give again. But let me see what I've been listening to. Not to hold up the flow of the show too much.
Nah, that's so funny that it was. Yeah, I was like, are you gonna? I was curious if you knew it or not. I guess maybe I should have just asked. You would have added it again. That would have been funny, but you knew it.
Yeah, my pick would be the song is called "Good Time Crowd" by Chuck Prophet. He's one
Okay.
of my favorite Bay Area musicians, Chuck Prophet in the Mission Express, the Good Time Crowd. And in the song, he sings and he asks, about all these different life experiences that people have had. Like, have you ever shot a pistol into the air? Have you ever done this? Have you ever been on a vacation? Have you ever, gone to the windswept dunes or this or whatever? And the refrain of the song is a very repetitive chorus. I find it very catchy. He just says, "I want to run with the good time crowd." And that was going to be sort of my other ultimate piece of advice or tip for college, other than everybody's experience is different, is, I just, or maybe it's a hope for everybody that you can find your good time crowd and to find your tribe in college and a group of people in any regard, not just, social or party wise, that makes you feel like you're having a good time and finding your crowd.
I love that. I have to listen to the song. I cannot wait to hear it. That's such a good, that's a good musical piece. Now, if you could go back and change anything about your college experience, would you? And if so, what?
Oh, this is such a tough question because the pandemic thing
Yeah.
is looming there so clearly at the beginning. I may have to take a cop out and say maybe, because I am in the fortunate position to say that a lot of good has come from my college experience, and I think I'm in a good and healthy place now, which I'm very happy and proud to say. And it's not as a result of the pandemic, but that was certainly a part of my development and a part of my college that, my current collegiate landscape wouldn't look as it did if that had not happened. And at the same time, that sucked so much, and I
Yeah.
might just get rid of it. So I, you know what? I'll be a decisive guy. I'll say yes. I would wipe the pandemic off of not just for the global altruism, but if I could change something, I would say I think a normal freshman year would have teed me up a lot better for a less rocky college experience.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's a good change to make. I completely get where you're coming from there. Yeah. Now the last question I have to ask, what do you hope you'll remember about your time in college?
That's a good question. I have been thinking about this one a lot, and I'm stalling right now trying to think of a succinct and thoughtful answer. I think I hope I'll remember. I think the friends, especially, something else that I've been wanting to shoehorn into one of my answers is not to get too theoretical here, but Sigmund Freud. Uh-oh, here he
Oh
goes.
boy.
But no. Sigmund Freud, when talking about dream interpretation, talked about latent versus manifest content of dreams. What happened in the dream versus, what didn't happen, but what the dream is really about. And some of my more, heady seniors and I who pride ourselves on being total nerds have been talking about, like, what is the latent versus manifest content of college? And, what is there on paper? You take your classes, you do your extracurriculars, you do your social, you develop in that way. At the end of your 4 years, you have a bachelor's in something and you can go into the workforce. But like, what is the manifest content of college? Do you become more independent? I would hope so. Do you learn how adult friendships work? Do you learn how adult romantic relationships work? Do you learn who you are, what you stand for, what you believe politically and personally? My friends and I have been talking a lot about that sort of extracurricular content, if you will. And so looking back on college, I hope that, I remember it not only for what happened, on a day-to-day basis and what I learned inside and outside of the classroom, but also the particular event events and times that informed who I've become, and that will continue to sort of inform my decisions for the rest of my life, I honestly think.
That's beautiful. Wow. I love that way of thinking about school. And like, you know, slipping a little Sigmund Freud in, never hurt. It's always good to, he's a chiller.
Well, he's a
It could
chiller.
hurt.
It
Yeah.
could hurt, I will say.
You did it very well. That's a masterful thing though to bring in Freud and everything works out in the end. That's a good skill. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode, Finn. Thank you for coming on the show. Take this time,
Thank
plug,
you.
share, promote anything, give any parting words to the listener, all that jazz.
All that jazz. I will say that I'm working on a filmed sketch show that similar to I Think You Should Leave or that sort of thing that is in the works right now. It's still being filmed and produced, but I hope you all will watch it when it comes out. You can follow me on Instagram at SharkFin02, and I'll be announcing some more stuff about that on the way. And that's sort of my big thing to plug at the moment. I'm really excited about that. So excited I'm shimmying. I will say thank you to listening to a blabbermouth like me for this podcast. I appreciate it. Carter is the man. Be sure to keep up with him too, as I'm sure you all will. Parting pieces of advice. It was said to me my freshman year, and I didn't believe it, but it goes fast. It goes so fast. And my senior year, I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? I'm gonna be in a cap and gown in no time at all. As much as that freshman year, you know, you're in your math GEs and you're slogging through this, that, and the other, and you're like, just end this. You know, when you're a creaky, creaky older man like me, you will envy that sort of that time of life. So yeah, it goes fast. Appreciate it. Everybody's experience is different. There's more to college than the classes and the extracurriculars. It's about your personal development. And yes, most importantly, have fun. And I hope that you all can find your good time crowd, because there's a lot of people in college with a lot of different interests. And I like to believe that everybody's good time crowd is out there waiting for them somewhere.
That's beautiful, Finn. Thank you for coming on the show today. It's been such a joy. I love it. I love it. Thank you for being here. Listener, check out all of Finn's stuff. I'll link to that show in the description as soon as it drops. You can follow us. I'll hype it up on our show. Our Instagram is at StucoPod. Email StucoPod@gmail.com. Let the good time crowd continue on further. Wish you the best of luck and the best of times in all of your educational endeavors. My name is Carter Dvorak. That has been Finn Rawlings. And until next time, peace.